This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. Ground Zero coming to you live from ZeroPointRadio.com. This is the place if you want to find out, you need to know about what's really going on there. ZeroPointRadio.com is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, giving you what you really are looking for, and that is information that you can't get anywhere else. We end the day for you to kind of tuck you in and warn you of the demons under your bed. Or the little green men or the little gray men, whatever you think are there. And you hide in the covers just to make sure they don't get you. Tonight's the night we are going to talk about that a little bit. Why? Well, it's not just Ground Zero that's talking about it. It's not just us that are discussing this situation. In fact, this has become a global phenomenon. And that what I'm talking about is I'm talking about what may be going on out in space right now. And when I say global phenomenon, what I'm talking about is that last week at the Ground Zero Lounge, we did a show called Green Egg on Our Faces. That show was very controversial, and I'll tell you why. It brought up a lot of interesting topics from, I guess you could say, revelation from the Bible to Quran to Talmud to global warming to asteroids coming in contact with Earth to extraterrestrials and the preparation for disclosure, which is something that I've been hearing. In fact, one of the programs that is run here at ZeroPointRadio.com, which is Project Camelot, broke a story about Pete Peterson, who is a gentleman who is an insider, who says that on November 27th of this year, coming up soon, that Barack Obama is going to announce to the world that aliens exist, that there is life out in space. And they've been pushing this agenda for the past weeks. Even you look at people like Alfred Weber, who does Exopolitics, another program that is aired here on ZeroPointRadio.com. He's discussed this, and also Richard Hoagland, who makes appearances, of course, on Coast to Coast AM, also has been biting and chomping at the bit, saying, oh, it's going to happen, it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Well, one of the things I find interesting is that there was a gentleman and a friend of mine, his name is Jonathan Burgess, he's the gentleman I had on this program. We were talking about the ghost radios that we want to sell, which... Oddly enough, the idea of ghost radios showed up on Family Guy last week. If you ever get a chance, go to Hulu and watch the latest Family Guy. It talks about ghost radios and talking to the dead on the radio. But Jonathan Burgess and I were having coffee at the Ross Island Grocery, which I around my neighborhood. It's a place where everybody gathers together and talks about agendas and things going on in the world, anything from politics to global warming and all the other things in between. And we were talking with this gentleman named Joel, who is a writer, a well-known writer. I don't know if I want to drop his name here fully, but his name is Joel. He's written several books about the coming new age, coming from anything from oil depletion to the idea of global warming or to be green. I don't know if he necessarily believes in anthropogenic global warming, but he does believe that there is something that we need to pay attention to. And one of the things he brought up to me was that he had gone fishing with a Norwegian gentleman who happens to be friends with a guy who offers the Nobel Peace Prize. He had told me, he said, that on the boat, they were discussing why Barack Obama got the Nobel Peace Prize. And he indicated that it was a number of reasons why. One, it's that his agenda, or his plotted agenda, which he has declared is going to happen, should be a lot better prepared for peace, if you will. I'm putting that in big quotation marks. Better prepared for peace than that of George W. Bush. And not only that, but according to the gentleman that Joel had spoken with or that spoke to, the other situation that is going to be coming up is the revelation that out in space there is life, and that the experiments that have taken place on the moon, some of the information they've received about Mars, and some information they've received about Jupiter, some of the moons of Saturn as well, indicate that we have more out there than meets the eye, and that they are going to disclose life out in space. And I'm sitting here thinking, well, okay, why would Joel tell me this if it wasn't true? Because I trust Joel. Joel's a pretty stand-up guy. He's very skeptical about a lot of things. Everything I talk about, he questions, which I think is okay. But he was also the one that kind of gave me the indication. Biggest fears and our biggest worries right now should be not about global warming or CO2 gases, but it should be about what's going on up in space. The space weather is the thing we need to be concerned with, because we have potentially hazardous asteroids and meteors that have come close to hitting the planet. We had one come close, a large one come close to hitting us back in November, actually November 11th, rather, back in November, we're still in November, but back in November 11th. And then, of course, we had another close call in October where a meteor, bolide, had exploded over Bone, Indonesia. Now, I had talked about this. At the Ground Zero Lounge this week when I did my show Egg on Our Face, or Green Egg on Our Face. And I wanted to demonstrate that we now are more concerned about CO2 gases and CO2 when we should be concerned about NEOs. Now, I did bring up a little bit about disclosure. I'll talk more about that tonight. But I did talk about these speculation stories that are going out about aliens and about extraterrestrials. And one of the problems I have with these stories, it's like a cry wolf, you know, that always happens. And I'm sure people in the chat room tonight are well aware of these types of cry wolf stories. And what I'm talking about is I'm talking about people like Blossom Goodchild. I don't know if you remember her. Blossom Goodchild said that, I think back in October, the Brotherhood of Light had told her that UFOs were going to park themselves, or alien spaceships were going to park themselves over the major cities, and that they were going to give us information and they're going to help us out. There are a number of people who say that the aliens have in their power technologies that would eliminate our need for fossil fuels, and that will save us from having to pay exorbitant amounts of taxes to protect us against global warming, and they'll be able to change all that for us. Well, you know, I get a little uncomfortable when I start to hear about how the aliens are going to save us when I don't necessarily believe that's the case. And I'm also a little concerned at the fact that while, you know, people are concerned about 2012, and we have a movie playing in theaters right now that's demonstrating how the Earth can basically be sucked away and torn asunder, that NASA, instead of paying attention to what's going on out in space with the potentially hazardous asteroids, the potentially hazardous meteors, I sit there and I say to myself, why is NASA on this crusade to debunk 2012 and to point out, you know, things like Planet X are bogus and they're bunk? I mean, why focus on something that's speculative anyway when a lot of people are saying it's speculative? I'm sure there are true believers out there that think the Planet X is on its way, it's going to destroy the planet, but there is no evidence of that, and so far no threats that way from the cosmos. But then NASA, of course, is telling us a half-truth, because as I pointed out on my show on Monday, we have every year, we have approximately over 300 objects, and that's NEOs, potentially hazardous NEOs or potentially hazardous asteroids, that basically intersect the Earth's orbital trajectory. And they can range anywhere from the size of a soccer ball, or a softball, if you will, to the size of Manhattan. Some are even like 6 miles wide. And there are many people who say that it's only a matter of time before we arrive at the wrong place at the wrong time. And when I was at the lounge, somebody had brought up Apophis, which is this meteor or this huge asteroid that's probably, you know, the size of Texas for all we know. It's going to collide with the planet in 2029, and the chances of it hitting the planet are 1 in 40. Now look at those odds, 1 in 40 of having something hit the Earth like this. And we're talking about what is known as a megaton equivalent event with the air burn up and impact, which there could be an explosion up above that would cause all kinds. And I had talked about this with all seriousness because of the fact that I was reading space weather spaceweather.com, and they were talking about something like 1,078 potentially threatening asteroids that are in space right now. And the whole problem they were having is that there is no early warning system for these types of meteors or these large meteors that can crashing down and could explode like what happened in Tunguska in the 1900s, in the early 1900s. So, you know, while we're putting all of our money, our trillions of dollars towards global warming to bring down the carbon emissions by a couple points, we could be basically putting up in space early warning type of monitors. We could even be sending out rockets that did the same thing to the moon as they do to the asteroids. We could slam something into them like a tag or a monitoring device that we can track its trajectory a lot better and realize and wonder just what is going on. And I had talked about this last week, and it's funny how things time. They time out. Coincidences time out. And what I mean by this is that I do know that we were in the middle of the Leonid meteor shower, which was going on and ended around the 18th. And while the Leonids are a very interesting thing to monitor and watch, what we see coming down out of the sky for that are little pieces of comet dust. And these are things that are left behind from a comet. I think it's Temple Tuttle that had crossed in our path and that we go through its tail every November. And it seems that the meteor shower gets less and less interesting because of the fact that it's dissipating. And the more we go through the tail, the less we're going to see the meteors. Well, what is interesting about the lids is that we didn't get to see them here in Oregon because, you know, we're cloudy half the time, and I'm wondering if anybody else had seen them. Well, it wrapped up two nights ago. The Leonids did. They wrapped up two nights ago. And after I was speaking at Dante's about NEOs and potential threats of NEOs, I was preparing the show for tonight, talking more about ET disclosure, because that's going to be something that's going to be on the agenda, allegedly, for November 27th, and I'm going to give my opinion on this. But one of the things that I stumbled upon, which really, really had me intrigued and had me blown away, was this little story out of Salt Lake City, Utah. Give a listen.
First tonight, people throughout Utah are still talking about that space visitor that lit up the sky early this morning.
You see a meteor of this size or this sort of majesty only once every maybe 5 years or so.
Today we've been learning about the science of that rock, that meteor that briefly turned night into day over the western United States.
Alex Cabrero is in Salt Lake City. Alex, you spoke with professors at the University of Utah's astronomy department. What are they saying about this meteor?
Well, Dini, they're all saying they wish they had seen it with their own eyes, but we do have several video clips of the meteor if you haven't seen it. Of course, the one question everybody has, did it land on the ground? We spoke with several experts who say there's a pretty good chance that it did. One expert gave us an idea of where it might be, and here's a hint, Utah.
911, what is the address to your emergency?
Calls came from everywhere. Ogden.
I'm currently driving, but I just saw a giant blue flash in the sky, and it came down into the city.
Bountiful.
It flashed from the west and lit up the whole freaking neighborhood.
Salt Lake City.
Man, I am not kidding you. I am terrified. I mean,
Professor David.
It's an amazing, you know, astronomical phenomenon.
Ida is the chair of the University of Utah's astronomy department. He says the energy of the meteor coming into Earth's atmosphere was so powerful, it had to be measured in terawatts.
It's almost like the consumption of the United States all at once. But it was only a fraction of a second.
Those who saw it believe it.
And it looked like a big fireball.
It was like daylight.
I've never seen it before.
Kita says a meteor like that comes along once every 5 years. A camera at the University of Utah's Frisco Peak Observatory near Milford caught it, then got the aftershock rumble a few seconds later. Seismology monitors at the U picked up the rumble from the air.
It's breaking the sound barrier, and so it is creating sonic booms, you know, shock waves.
Seth Jarvis, Clark Planetarium's director, says the meteor was about the size of a washing machine, then vaporized, breaking apart on impact. However, he says there's a good chance some of it landed. And because of all the cameras which recorded it, you can get a good idea of where it may have landed if it landed.
You can time the length of the shadow, the direction of the shadow, the duration of it, and using trigonometry, calculate where I relative to that.
Let's do.
It's possible that it's somewhere out in, like, West Desert, somewhere around there. But trust me, I mean, you go out there and you wander around. There's rocks on the ground all the time.
Now, there is a lot of interest in finding that rock if it did land already. I've received emails from meteorite hunters in Kansas and Nebraska and in Florida asking me if I knew the coordinates or even the azimuth readings of the meteor's trajectory. There is a lot of money in those meteorites. If you find them, they are worth some money, and it seems like the race to find it, if it's there, it's already on.
Hope you're up on your trigonometry, Alex.
No clue.
Thanks.
As you can see, KSL Television provided that report about a large bolide, and this is about the size of a washing machine, coming out of the sky above Utah. Now, it was seen in the Midwest. It was also seen in California. It was seen, it was a large, bright flash of light that exploded in midair. There was also a huge sonic boom that was heard over Utah, so that the meteor itself hit the West Desert, according to astronomers. But if you get a chance, you can go to KSL Television, KSLTV.com, and there you can find the report about the meteor. And there's also several areas on the Internet that shows how big this meteor was. Now, that's three in the past 2 months, large meteors or large bolides that have come down out of the sky that have the potential of becoming a kiloton event or a megaton event. As I said before, on October 8, 2009, it was one over Bone, Indonesia. It was about 40 feet wide. The meteor exploded in midair at about 11 o'clock in the morning. There's a video of that online if you want to look that up, too. And a lot of children crying because they heard the explosion. And what's really interesting is that even though we're looking at an explosion, this explosion that happened above Bone could be felt about 10,000 kilometers away at the Comprehensive Nuclear Test Ban Treaty Organization headquarters. So they wanted to set off a nuke. Because it was such a huge explosion. Now, they were saying that the explosion and the brightness of that meteor or potentially hazardous asteroid, they had to measure that in terawatts because the energy that was consumed in the time it came through the sky was about as much as America or the United States explosion. This explosion that happened above Bone could be felt about 10,000 kilometers away at the Comprehensive Nuclear Test Ban Treaty Organization headquarters. So they wanted to set off a nuke because it was such a huge explosion. Now, they were saying that the explosion and the brightness of that meteor or potentially hazardous asteroid, they had to measure that in terawatts because the energy that was consumed in the time it came through the sky was about as much as America or the United States consumes. And it was only in a fraction of a second. That's according to that reporter there. And, of course, the other close call that we look at was the one that happened on the 11th of November, where something on November 6th, actually, not November 11th, it was November 6th, where an asteroid called 2009 BA flew just below lunar distance, or very much below lunar distance, about 14,000 kilometers above the planet. And so you're looking at that saying, boy, that was pretty much a near hit, not a near miss. And so my concern was is that we were focusing all of our attention at the time to Al Gore, focusing all of our attention on Fort Hood, focusing all of our attention on things like global warming and pandemic flu and all these things that are going on when we should be paying attention to space weather because the focus, our eyes are going to be focused in space because space is going to come and it's going to be demonstrating its full power and full potential. And that was my theory then. And this whole thing that happened in Utah is more evidence of this. And I just want to say for the record that I did look to see if the Leonid meteor shower had played a part in this appearance over Utah, over the western United States and seen in the Midwest. And according to scientists, no. No, it was not. It had nothing to do with the Leonids. It was something, it was a rogue meteor that got in and no one saw it coming. This is the second time we've heard scientists say we didn't see it coming. The first time was the Bone Indonesia event. Then, of course, there's the other event with the asteroid 2009 BA. You notice it's 2009, which means it was detected in 2009. So that means it came from out of nowhere, a rogue meteor, rogue asteroid, a potentially hazardous asteroid, which according to spaceweather.com, you can look it up, the graphs are all there. We're looking at since October 29th, 2009, we have about 1,078 potentially hazardous asteroids that are now within or below lunar distance. And that means below the area, 250,000 miles out is lunar distance. Anything below that is below lunar distance and is a potential threat, if not a major threat, to the planet. And so, you know, disclosure, okay, you can say that it could be disclosure. You could say that, yeah, you know, Barack Obama is going to get up and say, we have reason to believe that there is life out in space or whatever, or the idea of disclosure, the idea of saying that something extraterrestrial is out there waiting to pounce on us, maybe as simple as saying, hey, we're in a field of large, heavy asteroids and meteors, and I've been forced into putting a date together to try and figure out what we are going to do to prevent the Earth from being hit. Now, that seems more plausible, as I said on Monday. It seems more plausible that that's what disclosure is all about, that it has nothing to do with extraterrestrials, but it does have everything to do with extraterrestrial threats. I mean, the minute somebody says, well, you know, there's going to be an ET announcement, an extraterrestrial announcement, people always think little gray men with big eyes. Not necessarily. An extraterrestrial announcement could mean water experiment with L-Cross. It could be that they found life on Io or any other, or Enceladus or any of the other moons or anything out there. It's not surprising that they could have found primitive life or biological life because Mars, of course, is producing methane. So all of these things that, you know, we should be thinking about and talking about are not being thought about and talked about. In fact, what I find even more interesting is the news that came out of the Vatican recently regarding extraterrestrials, that we're looking at a church that waited until 1982. Pope John Paul II waited until 1982 to apologize for how they treated Galileo. Okay? And now the church is blazing ahead by claiming that they know that there is extraterrestrial life out there and that their scientists are now declaring it part of gospel within the church. The Catholic Church is now saying that God is infinite, that God will not limit himself to making creatures here on earth, that God is a God of imagination and creativity, and that there are many creatures out in space, which is a big, big thing for a church like the Catholic Church to say. And they've said it, and they've documented it, and now they're pursuing extraterrestrial life. Now, if that message is being conveyed, and it's being said, then something is about to go down. Because that church, the Catholic Church, has never been one to make decisions like that, and to do it with such fanfare. So, we have a lot to talk about tonight. We have a lot to discuss, and we have a lot to look into with not only meteors, large meteors that landed almost in the, you know, west desert of Utah, and exploded with great force, but Bone, Indonesia, and other places on the planet where we're seeing big rocks heading towards us below lunar distance. We also have that rumor that's Coast to Coast AM to other shows discussing the alien or the ET disclosure. And this is where I'm going to sound a little bit cynical because I really have this odd feeling. I just want to discuss where I'm coming from with this, and it's going to be a lot different than what everybody else will tell you. And that's the thing, is that Ground Zero is unique and different. We're not the same as those other shows because we try, hopefully, to put an objective spin on this stuff and try to give you information that is sound and not full of flights of fancy and weirdness. We can't get weird, we can't have fun, and some in the meantime, when we're talking about serious threats from space and we're talking about serious policy being made in churches, religious organizations, and probably even your governments regarding extraterrestrials, we're going to have to really get serious and get to the bottom of what's really going on. I'm Clyde Lewis. This is Ground Zero. We'll return with more. Don't go away. Keep it right here. We'll be right back.
Paul Stanley from Kiss for Red, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Some of us were months producing a CD, but in less time than it takes to play it, someone will be killed in an alcohol-related crash. So please don't drive when you've been drinking. Plan ahead. Arrange a designated driver. Remember, friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hi, my name is Jason Richard, owner of JR Graphics. But don't take my word on the great graphic work that you can get from JR Graphics. Just listen to some of the customers I've had over the years, and they will tell you how great the work is and how fast I will get it done. For expert-looking graphics but not paying for the high price, come to JR Graphics.
www.jasonrgraphics.com for all the info.
What are you doing?
Filling out a loan application.
I can help you get that, you know.
Really? How?
With this.
A bag of sand?
It's not a bag. It's a pouch. And it's not sand. It's credit fairy dust.
Credit fairy dust?
Yes. I sprinkle some fairy dust on the application, and your credit rating magically improves.
There's no such thing as the credit fairy.
An unbeliever now. But what will you think when your loan is approved?
I'll think my credit score improved because I paid my bills on time, kept my credit card balances low, and only opened a new card if I really needed it.
It's the dust.
It's sand.
Don't deny the credit fairy.
There's no magic to earning your credit, but go to creditfairy.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the Consumer Bankers Foundation, the Leadership Conference on Civil Rights Education Fund, and the Ad Council.
During a recession, everyone's trying to cut back on their expenses. And I know that you're trying to save a little bit of money for your hosting as well. At smallbudgethosting.com, we guarantee we will charge you for the space you need, not the space that you're never going to use. And for the listeners of ZeroPointRadio.com, we'd like to offer them a coupon code. You'll be able to go and enter the coupon code ZBR. You can enter that coupon code and you'll receive 10% off the length of your account. This offer expires December 31st, 2009.
Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis.
I'm Clyde Lewis. This is Ground Zero. Tonight, we're going to talk about what's going on out there in the cosmos, what's happening in space. Yeah, space weather is far more interesting than what's going on out there, down here, especially with global warming. You know, you may not believe in aliens, but it is evident that agencies around the world do. And the United States military, NASA, and other black ops organizations have sent information they have kept from the American people regarding anomalous activities that are going on right now above us. It's getting to the point where NASA is no longer capable of keeping everything top secret. And some things cannot be explained by science. So, there are all of those rumors going around. And NASA is finding it harder to hide the truth about an alien presence on Earth and in the solar system, and they are also finding it harder to hide the fact that the solar system is going through some abrupt changes right now. Anything from the heating up, which we have talked about before, to mystery roars in space. In fact, I was reading in space, actually space.com, that astronomers are saying they're hearing roars in space, some strange sound in the spectrum that, you know, we have radio hiss that you hear. And you also hear other things, but they're hearing both the Earth and the Sun and all their, you know, planetary bodies either roaring or whining or screaming. And I think that NASA is trying their best to keep things quiet because they don't want to let out any information that isn't being cleared. And so their whole agenda now is to try and disprove things like Planet X. When it seems that there's so much buzz about this whole idea of disclosure. And I'm really, really wondering if it's real or if it's just that they want to spark all of this, you know, interest again because of maybe a rumor they heard that Barack Obama or someone is going to tell us about extraterrestrial threats. Now, extraterrestrial threats can mean anything from a gamma burst or maybe Betelgeuse. Of course, we did a story about Betelgeuse a while ago being ready to go nova or supernova. Maybe the idea of the planet alignment for 2012. I know a lot of people have been debunking that idea, but I mean, we are going to be passing through the 13th area of the zodiac, and that is Ophiuchus, which of course is the house of the dragon, the house of the serpent. And of course, the Mayans have predicted that when 2012 happens, we'll be seeing the red serpents coming down out of the sky. Now think about this. Red serpents coming down out of the sky. If you know anything about folklore, there are many people who speculate red serpents or the fiery serpents coming out of the skies are nothing more than meteors and comets because they leave behind feathery tails or they leave behind streamers. You know, you hear things in the Bible like things like cherubim and a flaming sword. The idea of a flaming sword coming down out of the sky. A flaming sword looks like a huge streak. Now, you take a look at the sky. If you take a look at that video that was produced at KSL Television of that large bolide about the size of an incoming into the atmosphere, huge, huge imprint in the skies. In fact, it looked like daylight. It was so bright. Big ball of fire and a long tail. A fiery dragon. A firepant. So when 2012 talks about the things like, when the Mayans talk about 2012 and the return of their gods, we talk about the serpent gods, Quetzalcoatl and others. The serpent gods are like the fiery snakes that come down out of the skies. Of course, meteors, comets, and who knows, maybe even a flying saucer? I don't know. That far. I don't believe that there are spacecraft out there that may not be ours. But the thing is that I have kind of seen the UFO phenomenon jump the shark, if you will. I just think that in some respects it has jumped the shark because we have so many people who have so many opinions and so many gurus that have so many opinions on the subject that it gets under my skin when I hear people like Stephen Greer say, well, we're heading for disclosure and Obama's going to give us the word by the end of the year. And now they're giving us the date of November 27th. Well, that remains to be seen. However, the disclosure or the deliverance of the word of what's happening may or may not be what we're looking at. I mean, we have NASA telling us that we have unexplained forces that are acting on space probes or pulling things out. In fact, I was reading a story the other day that CERN is going to actually fire the collider now. They've decided the problem with the bird and the bread, that's over with, so now they're going to fire in December. But a lot of them have discussing the fact that they do believe, many of the scientists believe, that they are going to open a doorway. And that doorway is going to be open for just a small amount of time, and they're hoping, okay, they're hoping that something gets, they're hoping that something comes through the time-dimensional doorway. And if that happens, we're looking at a whole new way of looking at time. We're looking at a whole new way of looking at the space-time continuum. We're at that point in history, a fascinating time we live in, and it's amazing the things that we're seeing and the things we're hearing about. And it tops, in my opinion, anything and everything you hear about from the extraterrestrial people or the moon bat people or the what they call the bat crazy people. And I'm not saying they are. I've interviewed many people that I respect. But what I'm saying is that it's getting to a point where people can recite this stuff verbatim. And nothing new under the sun is coming through. Every time Linda Moulton Howe, it sounds the same. Anytime George Norrie opens his mouth, it's the same. These guys are getting paid a lot of money to keep saying the same things over and over again. Get that at ground zero. You won't get that here because it's probably one of the reasons, you know, it's not so easy getting back into terrestrial radio because they want you to pitch this idea. They want you to keep the mythology going. There maybe is some fact to back up the mythology, but it's mostly mythology. And it's mostly faith, and it's mostly into little gray men and making it stick. And that's what's unfortunate, because I just think that, you know, we've seen here in the United States and around the world a surge of UFO sightings since the year 2000. And even the national media has been doing reports on the sightings, but of course they still tend to ridicule the witnesses as whack jobs and delusional because they love to have fun at the expense of these people who see these things. And the UFOs they're seeing now are not typical. Many of these aircraft seem to be more advanced now than ever. And many have been seen near Air Force bases and flying in what can only be described as fleets. You know, they're seeing fleets flying overhead now, vanguards, fleets, you name it. You know, there were some shots over Michigan of this vanguard of spacecraft, flying overhead. And this has been a first for in many ways, seeing those types of things. And then, of course, people have been seeing video of something called the TR-38, a flying aircraft called the TR-38. It's called the Astra. And there are only a few of them in existence, and they're shaped like triangles. They're nuclear-powered. They're a platform, and they're still top secret, but they're flying them over places like Europe. And it's a black budget project that many people are seeing. It's kind of like, the Aurora, the TR-38 aircraft, Flying Triangle Classic, Flying Triangle. It's in the Aurora class, and it's been funded by the National Reconnaissance Office, and also the NSA is involved, the CIA is involved. It's not fiction. People see these craft, and they're not extraterrestrial. But they will certainly look like they're back engineered from extraterrestrials. And I just am curious as to, when it comes to the disclosure, what is it that people want to hear? I mean, what is it do they really want to hear about disclosure? I'm thinking that they want to hear that everything that they thought that they've heard on talk shows like Coast to Coast AM and all the other talk shows, they're hoping that this is what the disclosure is going to be. I can promise you it's going to be nothing like that. Nothing at all. And it's not even going to, take a look at the other countries right now. There are several countries like France and even England opened up their UFO files, and a few other people have. Has it changed the world all that much? No. Do you think the majority of people care about whether or not there's space aliens out there? Probably not. And while many people are going to see shows like 2012, The Fourth Kind, and other, I think Planet 51 is the next one out. I think when people go to alien movies, I think it's because they just have an interest in it. But no one wants to admit that it's on their minds all the time. There are people that have this stuff on their minds 24/7, and many people that are involved with ufology tend to have their own vocabulary. And they don't bring anyone else in on the secrets, or they don't talk about the big things that are being planned. They keep it all to themselves, which makes them quite elitist, if you ask me. Because if people have to stop and say, I know nothing about this, you're looked at like, what, you don't know anything about UFOs? And you how they respond, okay? The media responds by saying UFO, and immediately people think alien technology, or they think aliens are piloting them, or little gray men, or whatever. And see, this is where we are losing, because looking up in the sky and there, whether it be bolide meteor, asteroid, or little gray man, it's important that we realize and understand what is truth and what isn't truth. And I think that, once again, I'm going to use the term objective reality needs to be put into play here. We've got the skeptic who can be ardent skeptic, who can say, well, I don't believe. And if you don't believe, you're not a skeptic. It's you're a non-believer. So there's non-believer skeptics, and there are people who are true believers. See, I try to say that there are non-believers, because non-believers are not skeptics. Skeptics are people with open minds who are willing to listen to all the evidence that's at hand and the evidence that's not there and try to ascertain some sort of opinion or be open to several opinions. People who've made up their minds and say, well, I'm a skeptic, I don't believe. Well, that doesn't mean if you don't believe, you're a non-believer. If you're a skeptic that wants to constantly persecute somebody because they're trying to find the truth and you keep kicking because they have something they want to say, then you're not a skeptic, you're an asshole. Now, I've said that on the air even when I've been on terrestrial radio. I've never got bleeped by the FCC, so I'm going to say it again. If you are a skeptic, you have an open mind. If you're a skeptic that constantly wants to kick people who are trying to find the truth, you're an asshole. And that goes for people out there that I have dealt with, from NASA to Randy to Phil Plait to only real skeptic I've that I really enjoy talking to is Irmer, because I believe that he's more open to things than not. I mean, he does have his moments, but he certainly, when I've talked with him, I have never, ever felt like he's talking down to me because I'm obviously trying to dig at something that may be as frivolous as Santa Claus. I mean that. I mean, I do know that even when you're investigating God or Jesus, it's just as easily investigated as investigating the existence of Santa Claus. And even Hawking, he and I discuss it and the reality, if there is one, and how it can be proven. Without any evidence at all, using Heisenberg's theory of uncertainty, using particle physics, using quantum physics, if you really want to get that far. So, I mean, it's not too crazy to at least imagine for a moment that we are being visited, we are all being looked at from out there. Now, what I'd like to do is I'd like to give you out my phone number. I do have a phone. It's Google Voice. Google Voice is something that not everybody has. It's a very, very, very simple way of getting into the program. I don't have the technology in my own home to have a phone live interview source. So what I do have is I do have my Google Voice, which is at 503-512-9470. That's 503-512-9470. Now, if you don't want to pay the long-distance charges, just go to groundzeromedia.org, and there is an icon that says Click Me, Call Me. It will ask you for your number, and then Google will call you, and they will put you through at no charge. All you got to do is leave your message and your thoughts about what's going on and what we're talking about tonight, or maybe even just a little shout-out and say hello. So once again, the phone number is 503-512-9470. That's 503-512-9470. Just go ahead and give us a call and let us know what you think about what's going on up in space. And if you live in Utah, I would also ask you about the big bolide that was seen early in the morning. It wasn't early. It was about 1 a.m. So those of you coming home from the bars probably saw it, and it lit up the sky pretty brilliantly. So give me a call and let me know about that, too. That'd be really nice to hear from you about that. In the meantime, we're going to continue talking about the threats of what may be out there. We're also the terrestrials and the possible people are saying that Barack Obama will make the statement on November 27th, 2009. Is this all a big ruse and a cry wolf? Or do you think it's really going to happen? I'm Clyde Lewis. This is Ground Zero, and we'll be back.
Child's next asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. Visit www.noattacks.org or call your doctor, because even one attack is one too many. Brought to you by the EPA and the Ad Council.
Hi, my name is Jason Richard, owner of JR Graphics. But don't take my word on the great graphic work that you can get from JR Graphics. Just listen to the sub ad over the years, and they will tell you how great the work is and how fast I will get it done. For expert in graphics but not paying for the high price, come to JR Graphics.
www.jasonrgraphics.com for all the info.
The odds of having a boy.
1 in 2.
Who grows up loving baseball.
1 in 6.
And then makes the varsity team.
1 in 20.
Which earns him a college scholarship.
1 in 2,500.
That gets him a contract in the minors.
1 in 3,700.
Which leads to starting shortstop in the majors.
1 in 290,000.
The odds of having a child diagnosed with autism?
1 in 150. You know the odds. Now learn the signs. Go to autismspeaks.org. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen.
During a recession, everyone's trying to cut back on their expenses. And I know that you're trying to save a little bit of money for your hosting. At smallbudgethosting.com, we guarantee we will charge you for the space you need, not the space that you're never going to use. And for the listeners of ZeroPointRadio.com, we'd like to offer them a coupon code. You'll be able to go and enter the coupon code ZVR. You can enter that coupon code and you'll receive 10% off the life of your account. This offer expires December 31st, 2009.
You're listening to Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis.
people throughout Utah are still talking about that space visitor that lit up the sky this morning.
911,
what is the address
of your emergency? I'm currently driving, but I just saw a giant blue flash in the sky, and it came down into the city.
It flashed from the west and lit up the whole freaking neighborhood.
Ma'am, I am not seeing you. I am terrified.
Do you see a meteor this size with this sort of majesty? Maybe 5 years or so.
It looked like a big fireball.
It was like daylight.
I've never seen it before.
Clyde Lewis, this is Ground Zero. Came out of the sky, yep, over Salt Lake City, Utah. They're buzzing today because they had a huge, huge meteor come out of the sky, a meteor the size of a washing machine, it's estimated. It exploded over the west desert of Utah. It was seen in the Pacific. It was also seen in the Midwest, something bright like that exploding over the skies of Utah. And they're doing searches all over the salt flats now, trying to find what is left of that small meteor that was undetected by NASA. As I have said before, and I said Monday night at the Ground Zero Lounge prior to this event, that we've had two close calls, one in October and one in November, and now this third close call that seems to be apparent. There are things in the sky, and like I said before, this has nothing to do with the Leonid meteor shower that closed up, actually peaked on the 17th and kind of shut down on the 18th and 19th. This is something as apart from that, and scientists have said that it's something that slipped through the cracks. They don't know where it came from. It was huge, and it exploded over Utah. It wasn't a kiloton event, but it could have, it had the potential of being one. It did cause a sonic boom, and they did manage to measure its and its energy that was expelled in terawatts. And that's something I've never heard of before. They had done it in terawatts. Now, my whole platform for the past week, in fact, prior to my global warming stance and everything else, is that we are paying too much attention to CO2 gases, to the flu. We're paying attention to all these immediate things that are benefiting our leaders. Al Gore is getting benefited, is benefiting from global warming. Barack Obama is benefiting from the flu. No one is going to benefit from an asteroid or something coming from space and kicking our butts. No one is going to enjoy the idea of something huge hitting the planet. And many people feel, well, we're pretty safe because they only happen like every 65 billion years or so, or 65 million years or so. No, the last one happened about 4,000 years ago. 4,000 years ago, we had something hit us. And we've been hit on this planet six times in its history that we know of. Six times in recorded history, you know, we've been hit by something huge coming from space, undetected and unseen. And it's well known that NASA does not have the money or the funding to monitor every NEO or potentially hazardous asteroid that comes towards us. Now, I do know there's been pressure in the science community to get Barack Obama to set aside money in the budget to protect the planet against these incoming NEOs. Now, I'm not talking about an extinction-level event. I mean, those things are pretty rare and pretty random. But an ELE is not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about something potentially hazardous, and that they hit the planet all the time. Now, we could have something the size of, the size of a beach ball, or the size of a car, the size of a Volkswagen or a bus, come down out of the sky and slam into a heavily populated area and kill thousands of people. We're talking mega death from a kiloton happens from outer space. And these are things that are more immediate and probably better off monitored than having to bring down CO2 gases. I think weather here, from rain, snow, sleet, hail, or whatever, I can deal with warming, cooling, whatever. There's something called air conditioning. There's something called heat. There's something called blankets. I mean, I can deal with that. But what I can't do is I can't put an umbrella up to protect me from something the size of a UPS truck landing on top of me and killing me, or landing in my backyard and taking out the entire city. Our priorities are not straight here. And so when I hear about people talking about disclosure of the ET phenomena or the ET presence, I have to sit there and go, wait a minute. Maybe the extraterrestrial disclosure has nothing to do with your anthropomorphs that you are hoping are going to come down and save your souls and save your lives and give you this new technology that's supposed to get rid of fossil fuels. I don't think it's that easy. I really think people should grow up and they should pay attention and use objective reality here and say, if we do get this disclosure, it would be something a lot more, I think, immediate than the idea of in presence or the idea of ET presence. I mean, if I'm totally wrong, I will immediately say, and the Catholic has already come out and said, yes, we are now exploring the possibility. We are no longer shutting down the possibility. The possibility is there, and we are going to look into it. Important that we look into it. I mean, that's what I thought was very fascinating, was when I was looking over the story, I saw that in a London newspaper. I mean, it says, the Vatican joins the search for alien life. Vatican's Pontifical Academy of Sciences, holding its first ever conference on alien life, the discovery of which would have profound implications of the Church. The Jesuits are the ones that are revealing this. There's an agenda or something happening. Why would they be doing this? And that's what I would like to know. I was also quite interested in what you have to say about this. I mean, This is history in the making, and this isn't something that I'm making up. When you have the Catholic Church, I mean, they used to burn people as heretics for saying that there were other worlds. You realize this. During the Inquisition, they did this. And now the Church is saying, wait, we're now going to investigate the possibility, and we're not limiting God's creation. We're going to bring it within harmony of the Church's doctrine and dogma. When you have the Vicar of Christ, or, as we say, vicarius filii, which means in place of God or in place of Jesus, when we have the master and the pontifical scientist saying that, yes, Virginia, there are aliens out there, you have to stop and think about what that means for the future. So what's your opinion? 503-512-9470. That's 503-512-9470. 503-512-9470. If you don't want to call, if you're afraid of long-distance charges, have Google make the phone call for you. You just go to groundzeromedia.org, and there you can click on the icon that says call me. It'll give you a place where you can put your number in. Google will give you a call back. It'll leave a beep, and then you can say what you need to say, and it does return to me in real time. So give me a call. It's 503-512-9470. That's 503-512-9470, and we can have you give your opinion on what's going on out there. This is some sort of agenda also cooked up, because I do know that if you read, there was a publication that was out called The Report from Iron Mountain, and we'll get into that tonight a little bit too, talking about The Report from Iron Mountain and how they had this agenda that they wanted to propose, that, you know, they wanted alternatives to what we could use the military for if, you know, we had peace on the planet. And because I think Kennedy was right on the verge of creating, you know, peace with Russia back in the 60s during the Cold War. And I don't think, and I think that the military was getting a little, you know, scared by it. And I think that, you know, there are a number of reasons why Kennedy was shot, but could have been one of the contributing factors. But we weren't, according to people who have read the report on Iron Mountain, there really haven't been any people or anyone who has been able to refute it as being a farce or a hoax. In fact, many people are saying that it's very real, and the agendas that are there were proposed, would take, according to Johnson, President Johnson, 40 years to implicate. And we're looking, what, 40 years ago that report came out, and here we are 40 years later. 40 years later would have been 2006 or 2004, around in that time. And that includes, they included all kinds of things, anything from environmental catastrophes to extraterrestrial threats. So maybe that's next in line. The extraterrestrial threat, you know, they're going to have to really, really come up with a good idea, a solid idea that is going to really convince people that this is what is happening. And I think that, you know, it just stands to wonderment that this is going to happen, because the Catholic Church has actually said, well, we're looking into the possibility and we're putting it together, and we've decided that, yes, it's out there, which is a big stand for them. So how do you feel about that? What do you feel about that? Because I really am and fascinated on how they go down. I mean, I have an idea go down because I've read a lot of books and I've seen a lot of things. I know a little bit about human behavior. And I know that I can tell you right now that if Barack Obama was to get up tomorrow and make the announcement, you could listen to every talk radio program out there. And if you're talking about shows like Coast to Coast AM and Rants and all these other shows, you would probably hear people say, well, they've made the announcement, but they're not telling us the whole story. They're not telling us everything. And that's not, you know, there's never going to be disclosure. It's all going to be what they want to reveal to us. Because, of course, we don't want people who are making money off of people who have blind faith in aliens to lose all their money to stop selling books. I mean, hey, it's books that need to be sold and ideas that need to be heard and said. I mean, come on. Revealing the truth puts a lot of people out of business. And some of those people don't deserve to be in business anyway. So keep that in mind when you're thinking about extraterrestrials and disclosure and what it all means. Because I can tell you right now that you can look in the stars and look up in the heavens, and something will tell you that, yes, there are things out there that we don't understand. You know, I've heard the old statement, and this statement always rings with people who want to try and sound like they're in on the whole idea of ufology and the whole idea of exobiology. They always say to you, it's very egotistical for humans to think that they're the only living creature in this universe. Well, I have one to offer you. It's just as egotistical to think that we as Earthlings think that they have any interest in us whatsoever. I think that's kind of borderline hubris, especially when if they're far advanced, they may have curiosity. But who knows, maybe Earth is just one more pit stop on their journey to their other worlds that they've experienced and seen. And really, what would they care? They look at us like a bunch of ants, maybe animals. Certainly primitive. We'll talk more about disclosure and what it means. Extraterrestrial threats, potentially hazardous asteroids, all the things that are going on in the news. Well, in the news, if you happen to be listening to Ground Zero, I'm Clyde Lewis.